It is not the ruler who is most like God. It's the man who's humble enough to get down on his knees and wash feet.
God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, for all of us who are willing to follow the Lord. You can find that promise in Deuteronomy 31:8. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today, as we did last week, about the love of the world. We made a distinction between two uses of the word world in Scripture. The world means temporal things, and do you know that the word worldly is actually applied in the book of Hebrews to the holy place? It was a worldly, holy place. The tabernacle in the wilderness was a tangible, visible thing, something that wouldn't last forever, and yet it was holy. So the two worlds we're talking about is the visible world of tangible things, and people who are worldly are those who are concerned only with visible things. Worldly people. You and I are meant to be otherworldly people, people concerned with the kingdom of God, people whose citizenship is in heaven. We talked last week about one of the forms of worldliness, which is the love of distinction, recognition, places of power. Who of us has not been tempted by this kind of worldliness? We love recognition, don't we? We love prominence. We love praise. And yet, when we take that praise, that recognition to ourselves, we're forgetting that we have absolutely nothing that we haven't received. Remember that Jesus, who is our Lord and Master, was willing to rise from supper, lay aside his outer garments, and take a basin and a towel and get down on his knees and wash the disciples' feet. He showed them in his act that this was what servanthood meant. And he said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." He was proving to them that even he who is Lord of the universe, King of kings, Lord of lords, Master, Rabbi, that even he was willing to take the place of the lowest slave in an Eastern household and wash the dirty feet of his disciples. He that would be first among you must be last. He that would be the greatest among you must be the least. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Is there someone listening to me today who has said to himself or herself, "I wish I could serve God. I don't know what to do or how to begin. How do I find out? Where is the job?" And maybe in the back of your mind, the idea of serving God has got to be something that the world would recognize, something that Christians would recognize as spiritual work. Maybe you're looking for something great, something fulfilling, something admirable, noticed by others. Someone has said, "God can give you nothing to do until you do what He has already given." God can give you nothing to do until you do what He has already given. Well, do you say, "He hasn't given me anything to do"? Oh, but that's not true. He has. God has given every one of us many things to do. He has given most of us work to do. He has given us people to love, people to serve, people to pray for. To some of you, he has given helplessness. All you can do is be served. And yet, that's not all you can do, is it? You can lie flat on your back, paralyzed, and pray. The greatest work that anyone can do. Each of us is placed here in the world in order to be of use to God and to others. So do what God has already given you to do, and do it faithfully. And if God has something greater in your mind, something which you might think of as being more spiritual than the work that he's given you to do, I promise you that God will open the way for you to find that in his time. But until then, just be faithful in the sphere in which he's placed you. We are, most of us, forced to work for a living. And work usually means service to others in some form. And the word service also means ministry. Or we could put it the other way around. The word ministry really only means service. People talk to me sometimes about my ministry. Isn't it wonderful to have the ministry of writing or the ministry of speaking? And of course I say yes, I'm very grateful for both those spheres of service. That's not all my ministry. You know, if I were to count up the number of hours in a year when I'm actually writing a book or actually speaking to an audience, they wouldn't amount to even half. The other half of the time, I'm doing ordinary things like cleaning the house or ironing or doing the washing and hanging out the clothes or going to the grocery store, writing letters to people, just ordinary things. But they're my ministry too. They are forms of service. Is it an office that you're looking for? A recognizable position? Do you want to administer? Where to begin? Well, the best place to begin is where Jesus began, when he came to serve, and he came to do only the will of his Father. Do you remember what I told you last week about that pyramid? In the world's mind, we climb up to the top of a pyramid, and the higher we go, the fewer people there are above us, and the more people there are below us to serve us. And when you reach the very pinnacle, then you don't have to serve anybody. And George MacDonald suggests that in God's kingdom, the pyramid is upside down, with Jesus at the very bottom. That's a scriptural idea. In Philippians 2, we read that he who was God by nature took upon himself the form of a slave and made himself nothing, annihilated himself, left behind all his glory, all his status, and became a helpless baby. Is there anything more helpless than a human baby? Animal babies are not nearly so helpless as human ones. Jesus was willing to be totally helpless. And for all of his life here on earth, he served others. He was available. God made a veritable thoroughfare of his life. People coming and going, demanding things, arguing about things, asking for things, criticizing him, hating him, some of them loving him and following him. Are we willing to begin where Jesus began? Nothingness. Willing to serve in the commonest, humblest way? Are we willing to get underneath that upside-down pyramid? Jesus was not the ruler. He was under the authority of his Father. In terms of this invisible world that we're talking about this week, obedience is as divine as rule and authority. Now I better repeat that. This invisible world that we're talking about is a heavenly kingdom. And in that heavenly kingdom, obedience is as divine as rule and authority. But in this world, this globe on which we live, this planet Earth, according to God's word, Obedience is even far more divine in its essence than command. It is not the ruler who is most like God, it's the man who's humble enough to get down on his knees and wash feet, the man who's willing to serve. Here's where you and I have to begin, with obedience, the greatest thing in the world that any man or woman can do. Obey everyone whom God has put over us. Civil authorities, business authorities, those who are overseers in church, those who are over us at home. You children who are listening to me, you know that the greatest thing you can do to serve God now is to be obedient to your parents. You wives, are you willing gently, quietly, and gladly to submit to your husbands? Now, don't get all twitchy about that word submit. I'm going to be talking about that one of these days again. I've talked about it many times. But in this way, as we submit to the authorities that God has put over us, we become a part of the great harmony of God's universe. Obedience saves us from ourselves. And let me read a poem of George MacDonald's. Methought that in a solemn church I stood, its marble acres worn with knees and feet, lay spread from door to door, from street to street. Midway, the form hung high upon the rood of him who gave his life to be our good. Beyond, priests flitted, bowed, and murmured meet among the candles shining still and sweet. Men came and went and worshipped as they could, and still their dust, a woman with her broom bowed to her work, kept sweeping to the door. Then saw I, slow through all the pillared gloom, across the church a silent figure came. Daughter, it said, thou sweepest well my floor. It is the Lord, I cried, and saw no more.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.